God's family, knowing, growing, and serving in the love of Christ. And we desire to help people come to know Jesus, which is Alpha, to grow in their faith, which is a life worth living, and then to serve. And that's why Rob is asking for people to help serve. Because one of the best ways that we can share our faith with others is by serving in the love of Christ. And so I know I'm saying a lot about serving, but so often we feel so blah in our walk with the Lord because we actually aren't giving out. And we say, well, I just need to get filled up first. But the thing is, unless you're giving out, there's nothing to fill up. And so I encourage you, whether it's Awana or Sunday school or Alpha or youth or whatever it is, there is some place for you to serve. We are wired. God has wired us to help other people come to know Him. And one of the best ways to do that is by helping. And so look at your schedule, figure out, you might say, well, I'm really only available Saturday mornings. Call the office, say, I'm really only available Saturday mornings. What could I possibly do? And I'm sure we can find an area of service for you. Because that's where you will truly experience, I want to say, freshness in your spirit, in your soul, in your life, when you begin to pour out the things that God is pouring in. So this week we are starting a brand new sermon series called This Is Who We Are. And there's some fine print down there. So if you want to know what I'm talking about for the next 5 or so weeks, it's right there. And some of you, I'm hoping all of you, were handed a card when you came in. I put it on heavy paper so that you can use it as a bookmark. You can put it on your fridge. I love it when I go to your houses and I find things that we've made on your fridge. That makes me happy. You might be wondering, what is this all about? So let me just share a little bit of this journey to this sermon series with you. About 2 years ago, I went to our website because part of doing what I do is I have to teach the membership course. And in the membership course are things called core values. And I looked at the core values and I'm like, wow, there's 15 core values in, I don't even know what any of them are. And how do I even teach these? It's just a bunch of words on the page. We need to fix that because nobody's going to remember what our core values are. And so through the process of about a year, we came to our board retreat last year. And one of the things that came up was making our core values more accessible so we actually can apply them to our lives. Because this is what core values are. Next. Mission creates the focus. So we know that we are told by the Lord Jesus to go into all the world to baptize and make disciples, teaching them about the kingdom. That's our mission. That's what we are supposed to be doing. Our vision provides direction. Well, how exactly are we going to do that? And values defines the behavior behind that. So our core values define how we behave. And so as I looked at those 15 core values, I was like, can we make them a wee bit more accessible with words that I can pronounce and maybe so can everybody else and something that I can remember? And so we sat around the board, and it was Paul Francis who came up with the idea, well, let's create an acronym that people can remember, something like Jesus. I was like, ooh, what did you come up with? And so on the back is our list of our core values, which says Jesus first, everyone tells God's story, spending time daily, unity of the family, and sharing God's goodness. And these are our 5 core values. So it's not that we got rid of the core values. We just sort of like compressed them into an easily accessible means that people could actually remember. And then I created a prayer out of those so you can be praying your core values, our core values, every day. And I find it fascinating that it actually has now changed the way I pray because I think through the core values. So I'm, Lord Jesus, help me to put you first in everything. Help me to be willing to share your story and to spend time daily with you in prayer and in the scriptures. And then, Lord, how am I supposed to contribute to the unity of the family today? And would you help me to share your goodness? And I was like, whoa. I can pray the core values now because I want values. I want those values to direct how I behave. And Roy E. Disney, who was one of the co-founders of the Disney conglomeration, says it's not hard to make decisions once you know what your values are. So when you know what you value, you actually respond out of those values. And I don't know about you, but a friend of mine, whenever she left the house, was told this: remember who you are. And her dad said that to her as a reminder of, you know what your last name is, now go and act accordingly. And I don't know if you thought about that in your own family, what your family's core values are, but ours in our Wager house looked like this. There we are. Look at that cute kid. All right. I'm the one with the interesting shirt, and that's my dad. So these were our Wager family core values: relationship with God, family time, commitment keepers, forgive freely, attention to details, and spend responsibly. Like, every decision in our house went through this filter. And not like, well, let's get out the core values and see, right? It just became who we were. So relationship with God came first. Like, there was nothing that was going to stop us from being together as a family in church Sunday morning, nothing, unless my dad was working. But other than that, we were together as a family. We sat around, we looked each other in the face and had conversation around the supper table. We went on family vacations once a year together. We were commitment keepers. So if we'd said we were going to do something, then you were expected to do it. That's just the way it was. And then we forgave freely. That was just part of our house. So yeah, we messed up a lot, but we learned to forgive freely. And then there's this idea of attention to details. Like, be aware of people around you, be aware of what they like and what they don't like. Be aware of those details and then spend responsibly. So spend responsibly. And so there were many times that we would drive past Tim Hortons and I was like, but, and it was like, we don't need anything. But as a result, then we got to do some really cool things as a family, and we were able to give generously when God needed us to give. And so those are my family core values. I grew up with those core values. And so what you value will direct how you do life. What you value will direct how you do life. And it's so important to think about what your core values were. That's why when I looked at our 15 core values, I'm like, this is not working. Because I know the Bible is important. I know prayer is important. I know all these things are important. But how do we make it accessible so people will remember it and apply it to their life? And so those five values, there they are one more time. Jesus first, everyone tells God's story, spending time daily, unity of the family, and sharing God's goodness. What's really cool is most of those were in my family's core values growing up. And as they should be for most Christian families. Jesus should be first, and that should be the first core value in every Christian home. Because if you're compromising on Jesus, you'll compromise on anything. If you compromise on Jesus, you'll compromise on anything. Don't think you won't. And so that's the first one we're going to talk about this week, is Jesus first. And we are saying we believe in the supremacy of Christ in all things. Every person is created to be in relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Life transformation comes by grace through faith in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the two scriptures that come from that are Ephesians and Colossians. But as you read that first core value, we are saying three things. Jesus is first. In any relationship with Jesus, he needs to come first, which sounds weird. But we put a whole bunch of other things in there. Just like if you're married, and if you start putting things before your wife, she's going to be upset. The only thing that should come before your wife is Jesus. The only thing that should come before your husband is Jesus. That's it. Not even a friend. Not even a friend should come in between you and your spouse. All right? And if you have a relationship that's getting in there between you and your spouse, you need to stop it. And there's no other way to say it. There's no other way of saying that. You and your wife, you and your husband need to be on the same page. It's interesting, as I was researching this topic, One of the pastors that I was reading said, you and your wife have to have the same core values, or else home's going to be really messy. And if you don't, then you need to sit down and have a conversation and say, okay, how do we get on the same page? What are you willing to give up? What is she willing to give up? How do you bring unity to that marriage? All right. So, Jesus needs to be first. Everyone is created to be in relationship with God, and transformation comes by God's grace. It is by grace that we are saved through faith. He changes us. We can't really change ourselves. I've tried. It's hard. But when God comes and changes he changes the way I think, the way I feel. And all of a sudden I start doing things and living this life that he's created. And I'm like, wow, how did I get here? And it's God. So let's unpack those Bible verses. The first one from Ephesians says, but God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. And there's three things there that just stood out from the page. You are loved. You are valued. And you are desired by God. Say those under your breath to yourself. I am loved. I am valued. I am desired by God. I don't really understand the fullness of that statement, but I ask God to teach me more about it all the time. That I am loved by Him, I am valued by Him, and I am desired by Him. Colossians says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in heaven, in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything, anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is first in everything. For God, in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ and through him reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by the means of Christ's blood on the cross. So that first passage told us about who we were. How we are loved, valued, and desired by God. Now this passage here, my question is, what does this passage say about Jesus? So before we go to the next, I want you to read that passage. And what does it tell us about Jesus? Now if you're new here, you're like, she just stepped down off the pulpit. What does she expect from us? Well, I would expect for you to answer. That's really it. And if you're new, you don't have to answer. You can play the new card. But you old people. And that's not just age. You know what I'm talking about. Read the passage. Who does this passage, how does it describe Jesus? God in flesh. Yes. How else does it describe Jesus? Creator. First in everything. Oh. Say it again. Supreme over all creation. Anything else? Powerful creator. Head of the church. All things are created through him and for him. Holds everything together. Isn't this a fascinating passage? I have read this passage at least 40 times in my life. And it wasn't until I actually paid attention to it that I went, wow, is this good? This is good. So this is what I came up with about what this passage says about Jesus. He is the invisible image of God. So if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. Secondly, he is eternal. He is supreme over all creation. He created everything, and everything was created for his purpose. So if you are struggling with who you are and what is your purpose. One, God created you through Christ to be with him. I love it. This passage talks about who we are and what our purpose is, that God created through Christ all things and for his purpose. He holds all creation together, or he sustains everything. He is the head of the church, is supreme over all who rise from the dead, is the fullness of God, and reconciles us to God by his sacrifice. This is why we put Jesus first. Because I don't know about you, but I certainly can't create anything out of nothing. It's not like I can hold my hand and go, okay, remote control. Remote control. And there have been times where I have laid on the couch. And I've been like, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Remote control. Remote control. Remote control. I just don't have satellite, Netflix, or anything that connects to it. Anyhow, sorry, I don't have Netflix. People find that quite shocking. I spend most of my free time talking to people. Yes, I do. But we can't create anything in our hand. We can't imagine things to happen. We can't force people to like people. We can't save anyone, really. Like, Jesus does all of that. And that's why we put him first in everything. And to experience the life God has for us, we have to put him first. We have to put him first. And that's what makes it so hard. It's because you're like, what? Well, what does that look like? What does that really look like to put Jesus first? And so, Henry, if you can skip to not the scripture slide, but the next slide that says, help me. It goes like this. Help me to think what you want me to think. Help me to see what you want me to see. To hear what you want me to hear. To love what you want me to love. To hate what you want me to hate. To feel what you want me to feel. To say what you want me to say. To go where you want me to go. To give what you want me to give and do what you want me to do. That's what it means to put Jesus first in everything. And I wake up every morning and I pray this prayer. Because I realize that everything in me can't even hold a candle to what I have in Christ. And I say this every week. I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out. I had a doctor's appointment this week. And I called. And she's like, oh, we can take you on in this afternoon. And I said, oh, that's really early. I said, maybe somebody else needs that. And she's like, well, booking into October. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. And so I went. And I went to the doctor's office, and there was this lady behind me, and she was like, what do you mean I'm not in your schedule? I made this appointment two months ago when I got in on that morning. And she's like, I took off work. Like, I'm supposed to be here. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, but God, I just drank a liter of water. I'm supposed to have this ultrasound. And I'm like, I can drink a liter of water another day. And I just went over to her and I said, do you need an ultrasound? And she said, yes. And I'm like, you can have my appointment. And she said, what? I'm like, I'm not dying. And she said, I might be. And I said, you can have my appointment then. And I looked at her and I said, I just want you to know, and I want you to remember that God loves you and he knows what you need. And afterwards, I just went over to her after I rebooked my appointment for Monday. How crazy is that? So exciting. I gave her my card, and I said, I'm praying for you that this turns out well. But if it doesn't, here's my card, and please call me. I'd love to chat with you. But that comes from willing to pray this prayer every morning, and that's nothing. I am selfish, okay? I am so super selfish. You guys just get the nice filtered Jen on Sunday mornings, okay? Like, Carrie should get a Medal of Honor for sharing space with me for so long. Like, she gets the unfiltered, tired, like, Jen. Okay, you get the nice, filtered, clean Jen. All right? This changes my life. When we choose to put Christ first in all things, he provides in ways we can't even begin to imagine. Matthew 6:25-33 says this: "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are?" There's that word again, valuable. "Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God so cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown in the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will you eat and what will you drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows what you need. So seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously." That means being at peace with God. "And he will give you everything you need." So when we put God first place in our life, we don't need to worry about anything. We don't need to worry about anything because he knows what we need. And let me just share a testimony that showed up on Facebook last night. It was so great. I'm reading it. And then I texted Allison. I said, "Allison, can I share this in church tomorrow?" She's like, "Sure." And so she shared this last night. She said, "I've heard, I don't know how you do it or why you do this too much for many reasons in the last 6 years. Number one, Jesus. Whether I knew it or not, at that time, he was and is always there. Number two, because once you know that, going backwards is like not breathing. Number three, whatever the situation, being houseless, scraping together everything together just to start again the next month, running my house alone for months, I've had two choices: rely on the first thing, Jesus, and just roll with the crazy, or do nothing, be miserable and get nowhere. The first seems more attractive. You'd be surprised what you can manage when you just pray, roll up your sleeves. Someone told me once, work as if it all depends on you, or pray as if knowing that it's all God. Jesus first." And if you haven't had a chance to meet Allison, she has two little wee kids, and her husband Jordan is in army training right now, and she's managing to do life on her own with church family and Jesus. But when you talk to her, she is the first one to tell about what Jesus is doing in her life, because she has chosen to put Jesus first. So, what do we do with this? Because ultimately, that's what the question we need to ask. And so I've given a scale today, because sometimes I just ask straight up yes or no questions. But maybe it's easier for you just to scooch a step closer. And I remember somebody asked me that once. He's like, "What if we drew concentric circles on the floor and the center was actually where you wanted to be, but you couldn't manage the jump from out there to in there? What if you could take little steps?" And I was like, ooh, I like that. Because sometimes we need to be wooed. And so I put a scale up there. 0 is not at all. And 10 is way to go. And so my questions this morning are this. Does this value Jesus first direct your behavior? Because values are to direct our behavior. So where would you put yourself on that scale? Where would you put yourself on that scale? That's an internal question. I love it at camp. All the kids would be like, "I'm 6. And I'm like, internal question, internal question. But where are you on that scale? The second question is this: do you want to move further up the scale? And I didn't put this up there because the third question would be, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to talk to someone? Are you going to get involved in a Bible study? Are you going to serve somewhere in the church? Are you going to find an accountability partner? Do you have something to confess or repent? And as the worship team comes up, this is what we need to be thinking about this morning. Am I really living out Jesus first in all of my life? And if I'm not, am I willing to move forward? And if you're not, then you need to ask Jesus to change your heart, because there is, like Allison said, because going backward is like not breathing. When we choose not to put Jesus first place in our lives, it gets really uncomfortable. And we start to make very poor decisions. We start to choose selfishness over godliness, hoping Jesus will bless it. So does this value Jesus first direct your behavior? And do you want to move further up the scale? And how are you going to do it? So the prayer rails are available. They are a place of response, a place of prayer, a place of just coming to Jesus and saying, this is what's going on. Maybe you need to intercede for yourself. I love the song, He is Always Interceding. So Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us right now. But maybe you need to come forward and we'll gather around you and pray for you. Maybe you need to come forward and pray for someone else who you know is struggling. But that's what we do here at the prayer rails. It's a place of response. It's a place of response, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we say thank you, God, for who you are and your love for us. Lord, we need to put you first in everything. We need to put you first in everything. And so, Lord, would you help us? Would you help us to do that? Would you show us what is preventing us from putting you first? And Lord, if it's selfishness, would you reveal that to us? Would you squeeze our spirit? If it's pride, well, what will other people think? Would you squeeze our spirit? And would you just, your reckless love, you leave the 99, you come for us. You want us. You value us. Lord, help us to see the things of this world as frivolous in comparison with you. Help us to put you first. We pray this in your name. Amen.